Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you that you are an ever-present help in time of need.
Yes, you are.
That you're always there for us, whatever we need. And we thank you that you are here with us today, and that you, Holy Spirit, will guide and lead us in that which you want to reveal to us, and that you will also enable us to not just hear it and understand it, but be able to walk it out as you would have us walk it out. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Yeah, I didn't have this planned opening. How many of you know sometimes God just changes things on the spot? And the reason for even in the opening line in my prayer is that God is an ever-present help in time of need. And I had something happen to me this morning that I don't even know what it was. I don't really want to experience it again. I don't even know that I'll try to figure out what it was. But I'll share it real briefly. But then what God did for me to just turn it around just like that. I was literally sitting at my dining room table, eating a bowl of oatmeal with apples on it. It was very good. And I'm sitting there, and it felt like, as I'm sitting there, someone put like a 500-pound barbell, you know, weights across my shoulder. And I'm trying to lift my spoon, and I can't even lift my spoon. It's all the way across my shoulders in the back. And I actually had to stop, set my spoon down. And it literally was, now you see how big I am. I weigh like 140 pounds. It felt like it was pushing me down in my chair. I actually had to lean back, and I was doing this in my chair. And yet there's no one there doing anything. I literally felt like there was 500 pounds on my shoulders. And I'm going, what is this? But then I'm thinking also, well, I feel it up here, but nothing's happening in my legs. That's good at least. And then it kind of like lifted, like, okay, that weight was lifted off. But how many of you know after you've worked out, let's say you've lifted what you can lift max as many times as you can, you just feel like, wow, you're wore out. Literally, and that's what I felt like while I finished eating. Then I got up from the chair, and then all of a sudden it hit my legs from my waist down. And I'm going, now this is really strange. And then it lifted. But, and this is, I share all that to share the praise at the end. And that is, I'm like, okay, I feel wiped out. And now I'm going to go stand up and share for the next 45 minutes. I'm going to drive to church, then I'm going to share. And all I can say is immediately the word of God came to my mind. And it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I can tell you that immediately, the first thing that happened was a smile came to my face. There was no one around to see it, but I was all of a sudden smiling. Just instantly. And all the weakness has just begun to fade away. And once again, like I said, I don't know what it was, what happened. I don't care. I don't want it again. But I feel great. So that's why I'm just thanking God for doing what he did this morning. It's just an opening praise. And when you can draw on that word that's in you, that's why it's so important to get those truths in you so that when you have that need, that's what comes up instead of, oh, no, I need to run to the hospital, or, oh, no, I'm doomed, or whatever. Literally, the thought just came, well, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and then start walking in it. And that's really what I'm sharing this about love. I'm hoping for myself personally is what I'm saying. And this is my prayer to God. I think I shared last week that God basically worked peace into me, his peace. And I've been walking in it literally since the 1990s. I probably shared on peace more throughout my life than anything, because it's easy to share on what you're already walking in. I mean, you know it. I mean, you live it. So it's easy to share. And then last year with you here, God worked his joy into me so that I walk in joy all the time. And it's how would I put it? I haven't walked in it quite as long. And so just like anything, the longer you do something, the better you get at doing it and staying there. Like for me, I can only think of like one time in the last 10 years where my peace left, and I was devastated. It was like, oh, I don't want that to ever happen again, because it just hit me like, my peace is gone. That's not good. And so that's the same way I'm looking forward to be with Joy. But now as he's taking me into love this year, that's the same thing I'm praying about love. I want to be able to walk in love like I already am, peace and joy, so that in that rare case, it'll be there's something to grab right back onto, like there was this morning for Joy. It's just like, okay, this is here. It's in me. There's a friend of mine, and you all know him, Pastor Bob Hawk. And he has a saying, and I think he says things like this. He did, at least when I sat under him, because he was my pastor for a while. And he knows, how would I put it? When people speak, not using the English language correctly, it just has a way of like fingernails on a chalkboard for me. Some people, that's fine, that's normal. But I do know how to speak properly, and I try to do that. And not putting someone down who does it, but he actually can speak very proper English. But he does it, I think, wrong intentionally to catch people's attention. And he has a saying. He says, you can't remember what you didn't remember first. You can't remember what you didn't remember first. And to me, it's just like, and yet, I probably heard that from him literally 30 years ago, and I can never forget it because it's just so wrong. But when you look at it the way he's saying it, there's so much truth in it. And that is, you can't, the Holy Spirit, it says he'll bring to remembrance, right? The Holy Spirit will do that. Well, if you didn't put it in there in the first place, how can he bring it to remembrance? In other words, it's not there. It says he'll bring it to remembrance. So that's just one that stuck with me forever. But that was what was so good about this morning. It was already in there. All the Holy Spirit had to do was go, here's what you need right now. Remember that? So that's what I'm looking for with love as well. I want love to be so ingrained in me that anytime I'm about to take a step that's not in love, that, remember this? And the Holy Spirit will just give me exactly what I need in order to take that next step the way that I'm supposed to in love. And I'm encouraging each of you, see, how would I put this? I can't force you to do anything. And I'm not here looking to do that. And in fact, God won't force you to do anything. Okay? So really, as in each case in my life with peace, I went to God and said, I'd love to have peace all the time. Sign me up. Same way with joy. Well, that one's even better. Give me that one anytime. Love, knowing what I already know about what the Bible says, I'm like, oh, this one could be tough. That's just me, you know, what it was. But I'm like, hey, I know this is you, so I'm all in. And that's really what it takes from each of us. If we're willing to say to God, sign me up, I want this. As soon as you tell God that, you've opened the door and he's going to do it. But if you're not willing to do that, well, he's not going to force it down your throat. So my prayer is, I'm hoping that each one of you will say, yes, God, I want this too, okay? Once again, that's my prayer for you, because I know it's God's best for you too. I know it's what he's impressing upon me now. And one of the things he shared with me, and it goes along with what Pastor Bill has been sharing, and we've talked a few times about it, that oftentimes God will, how would I put this? God's not confused, okay? He's not confused at all. So when Pastor Bill is sharing about there are times, situations, circumstances to come, that there are the dark clouds, that things are going to get tougher, okay? And as God was showing me this, he was saying, one of the main reasons I'm showing you this right now, first of all, is that, well, you're finally ready, because I think I shared last week that he tried before, only it was me saying no, okay? That to advance to where he wanted me to in love, I was the problem, not him, okay? As soon as you say yes, he's all in, and he's going to start the work. But what God has shown me over and over again as I'm studying this is, you need this now because you need it to be able to walk through what's coming up. And Pastor Bill has said similar things when he's teaching about what's coming up, is that we need to be able to walk in the way that God would have us walk, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others who are not there yet, and so that we're strong and able to help them get through what's coming and share the truth that we already have with them. I mean, I love the fact that God gives me the opportunity to share things like this with you. Not everyone has that. And for me, that's just what he has me do. He has you doing something else. And as long as you're doing what he wants you to do, then you're doing the right thing. For me, the right thing is to share this. And of that, I am convinced. And so once again, I pray for each one of you that you're saying, sign me up. I want this. Okay. So now we'll actually get to the teaching for this morning, the sharing. Last week, I actually ended with two of the points that God showed me right up front of why love now. Because I shared with you, I talk to God like he's there. And so when all of a sudden he's just downloading love into me every single day, everywhere I went, people were sharing love scriptures with me. I was finding them in the Bible even when I wasn't looking for them. They found me. And it was over and over and over and over again. In fact, I actually wrote in my daily journal, if someone read this journal, they would think that I was doing a study on love and was trying to find everything in the Bible. I wasn't looking. Okay? It literally was finding me. And with my, as I like to put it, lightning slow mind, it took a little while, but I'm going, okay, I guess there's something here you want me to get, God. You know, if you're going to spend like every day for like 2 full months giving me nothing but love, then there must be something here I'm supposed to get. And then I did start looking, okay? So it then did become more of a study because by that time, Pastor Bill had asked me to start thinking about, well, the next series that he would like to have me share. And he gave me a couple topics, one of which was love. I'm like, well, that didn't take too long to figure out. You know, it was awful quick. Yeah, that's the one. Share that. All I had to make sure was I had, once again, I wouldn't call them arguments with God, but discussions. Because I'm going, okay, God, if I'm up here teaching this, I want to get it first. In other words, like the other things where I share out of because I've already got it. And he's going, you can get it while you're teaching it. And I'm like, okay, that's more or less what I had to hear. And I kind of had to explain that last week. And the only thing I can take from that is, and what he impressed upon me, this is important enough for everyone to hear it that they need to hear it now because they're going to need it now, okay? And as they walk forward. So the third thing that God showed me when I asked him that question, the last thing, was that he was going to show me and you love quicker than he may have taken you through some other things before. And with me specifically, he said, as I shared with the church last year about joy, he's revealed things to me kind of in the exact same way as he did with joy. And the first thing, and you'll see this as I start sharing this, if you were to go back and compare, there are different scriptures, it's something different, but what we're talking about here is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Okay? And did you notice the first thing he put into me was peace. The second thing was joy, which is why I had that question. Isn't love first? And he says, yeah, it should have been. But it is a fruit of the Spirit. And in each case, the first thing he showed me was the world has a counterfeit. He did that back when I was sharing on peace. The first thing I can remember in the 90s, the first thing I did, the first time I ever spoke from a pulpit / platform. In fact, I was in a Methodist church that the pulpit was elevated about 15 feet above the people so that you looked down on them. And that was just different. I'd rather even just stand on the floor. I'd rather be sitting down in the chair with my back to you. Really, because I'm like, you don't need to see me. You know, it's. I'm hoping you're focused on God. You're hearing what I'm saying. But to be standing up there looking down on people, that was actually probably intimidated me more than it did them. Because this is my first time doing it, okay? But my very first teaching was on peace. The first time I ever spoke from a pulpit per se or in front of the church. And I can remember to this day that teaching. And the first thing I shared was, the world's telling you peace is this. They're wrong. That's not peace. That's not what the Bible says peace is. Well, if you'll remember last year when I shared on joy, when I started, the first thing I said was, Here's what the world says joy is, and it's not. And you'll never find it if that's what you're looking for. You may find that, but you won't find God's joy. Actually, Noah Webster originally wrote the dictionary back in 1828. The last thing he said under the definition was, what they're looking for, they'll never find. That's literally in his dictionary. If that's what they're pursuing, it's not possible. That definition. Now, I thought that was pretty neat when I read it. If any of you haven't looked at it, sometimes if you're looking up words, it's a great dictionary. It's online. You can just, it's free. You just go into 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary. Because what he did, being a man of God, in his definitions incorporated actually the truth of the word in the definitions too, in a lot of them. So when you go look at them, you get it from a biblical perspective. And it typically shows, it'll kind of show you the world's meaning and God's meaning. Okay, in there, which I find really interesting. So I reference it often. In fact, it's one of the places I went as I was preparing this. But the first thing he showed me was, okay, this love that the world's pursuing, they may think they have love, but they don't because it's not the love that God says. Okay, let me give you a couple examples. Here's the definition. A couple of the definitions that the world calls love, pulled right out of the dictionaries. And see if I can find them. Here are my notes. Okay. As a noun, it says this: love is an intense feeling of deep affection. Okay? And if you take that same definition and turn it into a verb, it would read feeling deep affection for. Okay. Now, what I want you to keep in mind right from the very beginning, my mind, as soon as I read that definition, you're going to tell me that my God is a feeling. Because that's really what it would be telling you there, okay? Because the Word of God says what? God is love. So right away, my antennas go up going, this definition can't be right. Because now, once again, don't get me wrong, there will be some feelings that are attached to love. God made us with feelings. And there'll be associative feelings that go along with what love really is. But that's not love. And that's what the world thinks love is. Oh, it's this feeling of attraction and affection for. Next definition. It's a noun. As a noun, it says a great interest or pleasure in something. And then once again, if you turn that into a verb, it would be literally expressed this way. It would be to like or enjoy something very much. And this is what they're calling love. Those are actually love definitions if you go look them up in the Bible. And here's a key for us. Romans 12:2 puts it very well. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't look at what the world's saying something is. That's part of it. Because if you do, you're going to be conformed to their way of thinking, right? Okay? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so what is it we're looking for here? Well, we need our minds renewed on what the truth of the Word of God says love is. Okay? And then we can prove His good and acceptable and perfect will, which is the proving of it is the walking out of it in love. Remember, the title that I gave you for this series, God gave it to me. And that is, take your next step in love. You're going to hear that every week. And I'm going to be going back to it several times. Take your next step in love. And there's a reason He gave it to me that way. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more today. But what I shared with you last week was that Jesus had to learn obedience. And we do too. In the same way. And once you have learned obedience, what you find is, in a certain area, it becomes a habit. And really, one of the benefits of a habit is that you do it literally almost without thinking. In other words, it's just you. You do it. Now, but here's another key. Until it becomes a habit, you're probably going to have to think about it. In other words, when you come to, well, I've Once again, these steps aren't literal physical steps, which we'll talk about in a minute too, that I'm talking about. They're steps in faith and in what you're going to do and in the spirit you're going to do it in. But as you're about to take your next step in any area, whatever it is you're doing, the Bible says, let all that you do be done with love. Is that not what it says? Let all that you do be done with love. Okay? And so whatever step you're about to take, I think that's covered in all you do. Okay? So let all that you do be done with love. So what you need to consider until love, the way God says love is, can become a habit in your life is you've got to think, I'm about to do this. What's that look like in love? Now, after you've walked in it over and over again, you'll just do it because that's in you. It's now you've learned obedience and it's become a habit. But until then, and trust me, this is where I'm at in a lot of this, because as he started sharing with me, I'm going, I'm not the one qualified to share this. He says, good, then you're the perfect one to do it. I'm going, ugh. Because literally, I have as much or more to learn about this than any of you, okay? But that's neither here nor there. It's what he wants for us. And as I said, if you're willing to say yes, he's going to get it to you. So, but it will take some thought and maybe even a slight pause. Oh, I'm about to do, what's that step look like in love? What does the word of God say this next step should look like? And that's literally what we're going to be spending the next how many ever weeks that God has me do this. I can't imagine that it will be less than 5 more after this one. Could be 8. We'll see what God says. The series will end when God says it's to end. Because as Pastor Bill and I talked about, he and I, we could share about love from now until Jesus returns. Because really the whole book, the whole Bible from beginning to end is about love. Because it's all about God and God is love, right? So literally, you could teach love from every, I hate using the word angle. From any direction, anything that you'd want to talk about in about God and in his word, you can tie love to it. So this could be a never-ending series. I'm quite certain there will be an end. And God will let me know when it is, okay, that's what you were supposed to share now. Okay? So I'm looking forward to it. I prepared the next 2 teachings already, and he'll continue to share them with me as, once again, he sees fit. I just spend time and say, okay, God, what do you have? For me and for the people, okay? Because as I said, this is as much for me as it is for you. I get an added benefit of, he downloads it to me, and I like using the word download. When I'm in my quiet time with him, what do you have? And literally, it's like he does downloads. It's like it's not there, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's all there. And I'm going, oh, that was good. Let's do that again sometime. I'm serious. It's just the way it works with me, and I know it works different with everybody else, but I just sat amazed once I've spent time with him, and he literally just downloads something. I go, wow, that was really good. Because I'm actually impressed because I know it's not me. I can just tell, well, that was God. And then I look back over and go, well, that's pretty good. Once again, because it wasn't me. And so it's actually fun when he does that with me. I really enjoy it. But then I get the added benefit is I get to come up here and say it all out loud again. And all that does for me is reinforce it in me. So I get the benefit. So I guess what I would encourage you to do as people come into your life and God says, hey, share about love with them. When you get to share about it and actually talk about it to other people, it reinforces it in you. Even as you're learning it, even as you're going along, share love with other people. Now, keep in mind, there's a verse, I do believe it's 1 John chapter, well, this one should be easy. I think it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Okay? It says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay? There's something important there. Yes, talking about love is important. It can sound like that verse is saying you don't need to talk about the things of God or love in particular. It's not what it's saying. But what it's saying is it is your actions that are really important because that's how they're going to see love. And we're actually going to see that as we go through this. If you look to what we would call the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, roughly. If you were to look there, what you would find is every single thing that's mentioned there is an action. Love suffers long. Well, that's something that you have to put in action. Okay? Love bears all things. Well, there's an action involved with that. Love believes all things. Well, believing is an action. There's literally, with every single thing, there's an action involved. There are other places in the Bible, and we'll go into these, where there are parts of love that spurn you into action. They will spur you, not spurn, spur you into action. And say, for example, having compassion isn't necessarily an action word. You do it, but it's something kind of within you. But see, action, that compassion will lead you to act in kindness, which is part of the definition of love. Love suffers long and is kind. So we're going to see both from God's word, those things that will lead you into action out of love, and those things that it says love is, which are action. So it all involves action. That's why I love that verse in 1 John 3:18. Okay? Let us not love only in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. So love is doing something. It's not just talking about it. It's nice to say someone, I love you. Say, for example, if a father said to a child all the time, I love you, and then they locked them in their room every day they got home after school and wouldn't let them out to do anything and basically shut them out of the life, would that child grow up knowing love? No. Okay? In other words, the actions aren't corresponding with the words being said. And that's what we need to make sure of as we're living our lives. If we're going to talk to people about love, they should be able to look at us and see love before we have to say a word. I pause for a second there. Randy often says, Selah, which literally means, think about that. Literally, consider that. Think about that. You shouldn't have to tell someone you love them. Now, you can and you should, because it's a good thing to do to reaffirm it. Jesus spoke words of love, and we are too. But if you have to tell someone you love them before they actually know it, there's probably a disconnect somewhere, okay? And the disconnect is not with God, it's with you, okay? And that's the way I always put it. If there's something wrong, it's not with God, it's with me. I know that for a fact. And so I'll go, God, show me what it is. I'm missing it. So keep that in mind here. Display love, do love, walk in love, and then talk about and share about love, okay? Because what you'll find is one will open up doors for the other. In other words, when you walk in love, people will start asking you, what's different about you? I don't see other people acting like this. Then you have the opportunity to share. You don't have to force something down their throat when they're not ready to listen, but when you walk in love first, then you'll have the opportunity to share about love with them. So I've now got to look back to my notes to see where I've gone and what I've said, because I haven't been looking at them at all, which is semi-normal. So usually about once each time I teach, I go, what else was the Holy Spirit leading me to share today? And the next thing that I wanted to go to was, we can look to love. Well, actually, that was a proper mistake. How's that? That's not the word I meant to share, but it's actually correct. We can look to God, who is love. So we can look to God and ask him, God, show me what love is. In other words, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what he wants you to see about love. I'm going to share many things that he shared with me. He's saying, okay, more or less I've shared these with you. These things the whole church needs to see too. But each one of us are in different places. He's made us all so unique. We're all different. And he'll know specifically for you exactly what you need to hear. Now, some of it may come through me, but he may have something specifically for you that you need to get right now. So go to him and say, okay, I desire to walk in love, as we're talking about here. What do you have specifically for me? Show me in your word. But above and beyond that, going back to that very basic definition, one of the things we need to do is not just to look to him for it, but look at him. Literally, the Bible talks about keeping your eyes on God, that's where your focus needs to be. Because if he is love, that's where you're going to see love, right? Is if you're looking at him. One of the main things that God told me to do as I go through and share, I haven't thought of really the right word, aspects, components, areas of love, because there are many, and they're all love, but you can look at them each separately, which is what God's going to have me do, is in doing that, we're going to look at the life of Jesus, because Jesus was God while he was here on earth. So it's our one concrete example. We can look and see, how did Jesus walk in love? Because Jesus is God, was God here on earth. He is still God. He was all man, all God. But we have a concrete example, because if he walked it out here on earth, we can walk it out here on earth. I actually made a comment last week, and looking at the time, and it's amazing. For all of you who sit out there and think, wow, is he almost done yet? All I can tell you is when you're up here, you're going, wow, where did all that time go? I just started. It's the exact opposite. I'm sure Shane can attest to it. I'm sure Pastor Bill can. You just look up and go, wait a minute. I just started, and it's been a half an hour. So I'm going to kind of wrap up today, and I'm going to do that in a certain way, which is in my notes, because I will tell you most of today was not. Okay? And I know Pastor Bill gets times like that too. God has something different to share. But here, the point is we must see him as love. And two scriptures. Pretty easy for those of you who have Bibles. They're located in the same chapter. 1 John chapter 4. Because if you want to be reading about love, read the book of 1 John. Great place to be. And 1 John 4:8. Really says what we've been talking about. It says, he who does not love does not know God. Pretty strong statement. If you don't know love, you really don't know God. Think about that one. I have, is all I can say. And it made me pause and think, to what level do I know love? Well, that's the level that I basically know God. Okay? And because that ends with, for God is love. Okay? So, to what level do you know love? Or in other words, to what level do you know God? Because God is love. And if you skip down just 8 verses later, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. See, the Bible tells us he first loved us. Right? Then it says, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So the focus is God is love. And this is why we need to keep, if we're going to get love, we have to keep our eyes focused on him. We ask him to show us love, but that's the place to look. So we're going to constantly, as we talk about each area, go to the concrete example we have, the life of Jesus, right here on earth. And I'm going to pose a question to you here at the end, and it's a question that I'm quite sure you know the answer to, but it will lead into my discussion or what God has me to share with you the next time. Now, I think all of you have seen that I won't be sharing next week because we have a guest, which I'm excited to have here with us. But whenever it is the next time I share, I'll probably start with this question that I asked you. And the question is, when God, When Jesus declared something, this is Jesus now we're talking about. Jesus declared something. Was it always true? Or is there any chance that what he was declaring was false or not right? Like I said, you know the answer. All I can say is, I'll be real polite. A lot of people are living like a certain declaration that he's made is false. Okay? And that's where we're going to start next week. Okay? Is showing you that very thing, not from me. In other words, I'm not telling you that, this isn't the right way to do it. It's Jesus himself using his own words because he declared something as being so. And if he declared it as being so, then it ought to be so in our lives, right? And that's the way we ought to view it. Because if we don't view it as so, let me put it to you this way. If you have a target, let's say you're shooting a bow and arrow, and there's always the bullseye in the middle, and typically the goal is to hit the bullseye, right? So if you're aiming at the bullseye, you're really focused on that. You may miss by a little bit, but you're probably going to be, if you know how to shoot, this is the key, you'll be fairly close to the bullseye. Maybe you're talking about shooting a gun here, but it's the same way. If you've got a certain spot you're trying to hit, if you're aiming at that, you'll either hit it or come pretty close if you're good at it, right? Now, the same person that's very good, if their target is something, let's say three rings out, and that's their target, that's where they're aiming, and they hit that, how close are they to the bullseye? They're whatever that distance is off. So if your target is not the bullseye, and you're going after the target spot, you're missing where God wants you to be. So in other words, if you set this up over here as the goal, when God says this is the goal, you're not going towards the goal. You're aiming over here, okay? So what we want to make sure of is that our target or our goal is what he says our goal ought to be, okay? If not, we're going to be off target. It's that simple. We may be doing very well at reaching our target, but it's not where God wants us, okay? So now what I probably have you doing after asking that question and sharing that, at least the way I would be if I was sitting there going, what's he going to go to next then? That's just the way my mind works. And part of the reason why I shared it that way, I thought, well, if I wind up here, this will be a good place to stop. But there's one last thing to share kind of in closing. And it is something that I've alluded to last week and I've mentioned a little bit here. And that is in that title, to keep the main thing, is that we are to continue to walk in obedience. We're going to get into that a little bit more. Just as Jesus walked in obedience. Because that's really how we learn to have the habits that he wants us to have. Okay? And so we're going to learn those things that we have to obey from God's word. You all know that God in his word doesn't make suggestions. They're not suggestions. You know, you probably ought to do this. It would probably go well for you if you did. Well, that's true. But he's not just making a suggestion. You know, we will read the Ten Commandments and go, well, there's the commandments. Well, that whole thing is his commandments. Literally. Everything he's saying you ought to do, that's a commandment. Okay? And so, and we'll go to the verses. And I'm sure many of you know them. We are commanded to love. Absolutely. Period. So it's a commandment. But in learning this obedience to the Father, in keeping his commandments, we develop this habit so that we can walk in love. So that once a certain area or a certain area of love that we're walking in, we get to a certain point, he then promises us throughout his word that he's going to keep testing us, working in our hearts to take us even to new and higher levels of love. Okay? So, Last week as I walked along the floor and then stepped up here. You walk for so far and you go, oh, you've gotten good at that. Now we'll give you this. And there'll be some tests and there'll be some walking through, and then you'll be able to walk in that. And once that becomes a habit, then boom, you'll go up to another place. So he's going to keep taking you on and on and on in love, literally as far as you're willing to let him go. In other words, it's not him. It's I/you again. Okay? How far do you want God to take you in love? That's how far he's going to take you. Okay? As long as you keep desiring more and more of him, which is love, he's going to keep showing you more and more and more. I'm actually convinced. I even shared this with Pastor Bill before this was even chosen as a topic to share this. I'm going, God could probably spend from now until he comes back just teaching me on nothing but love. I'm convinced that I need it, could use it, and he may very well be. Until he comes back, it just may be a continued lesson on love for me. And if that's what he has every single day of my life, I'm good with that. I do know there are other things, such as righteousness and, you know, and the peace and joy that I've already talked about. And there are a few of those other fruit that we might need to develop as well. And I say we, because that means I'm included, okay, and have them be a part of our walk. But I just know that he's impressed upon me that this walk in love is so much needed for now because of what God has for us and how he desires for us to go through them. And as long as we're willing to say, yeah, I want that, God, he's going to do a work in it. I'm going to share one last thing because I have just a couple minutes. And how would I put this? When there's something else and there's a few minutes left, I typically am not one to stop. Unless God says, there's where your place to stop is. And he hasn't done that yet. I just want to mention one thing, and that is, because I want to bring it up because Pastor Bill just shared it either last week or the week before. He mentioned in Hebrews 5:8, you don't have to go there. If you want to, you can, because I'm not going to quote it or anything. But as he's been sharing, one of the things he talked about was the fact, and I've mentioned it a few times today, that Jesus had to learn obedience. Okay? And really, it is the same thing that he's telling us that we need to learn. So we'll close with looking at what are we being obedient to? All of you, I'm guessing, just looking out and seeing who's here, I can't imagine that any one of you, if you can't quote this word for word, when I start it, you can finish it. You may not be able to tell me exactly where it is. But here's where we get the command to love. Mark chapter 12. Verses 29 through 31. Now, it's in more than one account. This just so happens to be the one that God has had me put in my heart. When a man comes to him and says, okay, what's the first or the greatest commandment? Now, what I find interesting is almost everywhere in the Bible, when Jesus is asked a question, he doesn't answer it the way they expect it to be answered. In fact, sometimes he doesn't answer the question at all. He goes somewhere else, and you're going, what? But that he knows what they needed to hear, okay? And it is associated somehow, but you just may not be able to see the connection right away. But in this case, when this man asks him, what is the greatest commandment? And you'll see what I mean about how Jesus doesn't answer the way they think. Because he's looking for one, right? Well, Jesus doesn't give him one. He gives him two. But that's just Jesus, okay? It says, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord is one. Something to ponder. He doesn't immediately go directly to the commandment. He makes that statement before he goes to the commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Think about that before you read the rest of it. It's there for a reason, okay? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Take time to think about with all of that means. In other words, look at each one of them. All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. What you're going to find out is it really covers all, okay? Really, but look at the different areas. And then he says, this is the first commandment. And then he says, the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to spend an awful lot of time after looking, loving your neighbor as you do yourself. I think many or most of us, and I hope this is the case, we've gotten down quite well and know the love that God has for us. In fact, the next time I share, I've already asked Pastor Bill, and I've talked to 3 out of the 4 people that God put on my heart to share. But I'm going to have a few of you share how you know God loves you. Okay? And I've already talked to people. And you're going to share. And God showed me a specific reason to do that. So most of us get that God loves us. And we know it because of what we've seen of him by looking at him and how he interacts with us. And I would say I'm quite certain that each one of us in here have no problem loving God in return. What I find in my own life, the bigger chore or the harder commandment is the second one. And how would I put it? It's easy for me to love the people that I love. Think about that statement. It's easy to love the people that you love. But are you loving all the people that God would have you love? We'll end with that question. Father God, we just thank you for your word, for your truth, that it is truth. And we ask that you continually bring up your word to us as we need it in the moment. We thank you that you are with us every step of the way. And that as you show us something, you do not leave us there alone to try to make it work on our own. That when you show us something that's difficult to do, you're right there with us and you will enable us to do it. And we thank you for continually working in us and for all that you do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.